from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listener. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz and RRI Digital Mobile App.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Government encouraged Pentahelix collaboration to develop quality tourism. Blue-green circular economy concept becomes the direction of National Medium-Term Development Plan 2025-2029. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where the Indonesian government is developing quality Indonesian tourism. Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Uno, as the keynote speaker at the Indonesian Tourism Outlook ITO 2025 seminar in Jakarta on Thursday, revealed that authentic and environmentally friendly tourism is the core of quality tourism. He also explained that to develop quality and sustainable tourism, his side encourages Pentahelix collaboration. According to Minister Sandiaga Uno, this collaboration is carried out by preparing sustainable tourism villages, increasing the competitiveness of Indonesia's Travel Tourism Development Index (TTDI), and developing disaster resilience destination.
Therefore, we continue to encourage various collaboration in the future, for example, with travel agents for sustainable tourism villages, increasing the competitiveness of TTDI. The target is that in the next 2 to 3 years, we'll break into the top 15. This digital information will increase the stretch of tourism to create jobs, and also we prepare to be more resilience to face disasters.
Minister Sandiaga Uno further revealed that based on Booking.com data in 2023, the current tourism trends tends to be more personalized, customized, localized, and smaller in size. He added that 43% of tourists have chosen sustainable travel, and 69% of tourists want to contribute to the local economy. Director of Strategic Studies of the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, Agustini Rahayu, revealed that the concept of Blue-Green Circular Economy, or BGCE, is part of sustainable tourism, which has become the direction of the National Medium-Term Development Plan, RPGMN, 2025-2029. This was conveyed by Agustini Rahayu in the seminar, Indonesia Tourism Outlook, ITO 2025 in Jakarta on Thursday, with the theme Integration of Blue-Green Circular Economy, BGCE, and Artificial Intelligence, AI, Realizing Sustainable Tourism in Indonesia. She also explained that the application of the BGCE in tourism is related to green infrastructure development and strengthening the inclusive and sustainable tourism supply chain.
Perluasan penerapan BGCE ini sendiri, Blue-Green Circular.
The expansions of the application of the BGCE itself, Blue-Green Circular Economy, is certainly related to green infrastructure development. Then it's later for basic infrastructure and supporting tourism. So it must be green infrastructure development for basic infrastructure and overall tourism development, then rather an inclusive and sustainable tourism supply chain.
Penguatan rantai pasok pariwisata yang inklusif dan berkelanjutan.
Agustini Rahayu further explained that blue-green circular economy is one of the tourism development concepts that combines three concepts, namely blue economy, green economy, and circular economy. She also explained that the blue economy focuses on the importance of balance between the economy and environmental conservation in the maritime context. Green economy integrates economic activity with the environment and environmental awareness, and circular economy integrates economic activity and environmental sustainability through processes and material cycles to maximize ecosystem functions and human welfare. The Alumni Association of the Indonesian National Students Movement organized a focus group discussions, or FGD, discussing the acceleration of the implementation of nuclear power plants towards the vision of a Golden Indonesia 2045. The discussions took place at the Yusuf Rono Dipuro Auditorium of RRI Jakarta on Thursday. Chairperson of the Central Leadership Council of the Association, Arif Hidayat, said Indonesia is now faced with increasing energy needs. However, according to Arif Hidayat, currently Indonesia still relies on fossil fuels such as petroleum and coal, which raise a number of problems.
Kita telah menghadapi tantangan dengan meningkatnya kebutuhan energi selama ini.
We have faced the challenge of increasing energy needs. Up to date, we will still continue to rely on fossil energy such as natural gas, oil, coal, and all of them are limited, non-renewable, and not environmentally friendly. We also understand that we continue to depend on fossil energy, which has serious negative impacts, causing a number of problems, including environmental pollution, climate change, global warming, and social problems.
Perubahan iklim, pemanasan global, dan problematika sosial.
Arif Hidayat added that Indonesia had experienced periods of abundant productions of natural resources such as petroleum and forest products. However, he considered that the opportunity was not utilized properly, so that not all people felt the positive impact. Therefore, he feared that the nuclear discourse for electricity, which is now echoing, needs to be discussed so that people in the future can enjoy the results. An activist at the Nuclear Engineering Vocational Agency of the Indonesian Engineers Association, Anhariza Antariksawan, said that the economic value of nuclear power plants in Indonesia can still be discussed. Even so, he believes that nuclear power plants will remain competitive if operated in the long term. He conveyed this on the sidelines of a focus group discussion FGD held by the Alumni Association, Indonesian National Students Movement, PAGMNI, at the Yusuf Rono Dipuro Auditorium RRI Jakarta on Thursday.
Ini masih bisa terus didiskusikan, tergantung dari...
This can still be discussed depending on what type we will build. The latest study conducted by PLN in 2013 showed that 1,000 megawatt electric nuclear power plant that was built could be competitive. Because economic problems vary, later we will depend on the interest at that time and so on, but in general, in the long term, nuclear will be competitive.
Itu dan sebagainya. Tetapi secara umum, kalau di dalam jangka panjang, nuklir akan kompetitif.
Anhar also said that even though nuclear power plants have positive prospects in Indonesia, not all electrical energy in Indonesia is supplied by nuclear power plants. According to Anhar, there must be synergy between nuclear energy and other renewable energy to meet Indonesia's energy needs. Regarding the potential for a natural disaster in Indonesia, Anhar added that nuclear power plants can be placed in regions with low disaster risk so that negative impacts can be minimized. The Indonesian Ministry of Trade noted that Indonesian business people signed cooperation contracts with buyers from 13 countries worth $863 million, equivalent to 13.5 trillion rupiah, on the second day of the Trade Expo TEI at the ISBST Tangerangin Banten, Thursday. Quoted by Antara, expert staff to the Minister of Trade for International Trade, Bara Hasibuan, said there were 38 business cooperation contracts on that occasion. Foreign buyers who signed cooperation contracts came from Italy, the United Arab Emirates, Canada, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Cameroon, the United States, French, Britain, Australia, Nigeria, Chile, and Malaysia. Meanwhile, the buyer with the largest contract came from Egypt for coffee beans, cocoa powder, and palm oil. However, Bara stressed, the real success is reflected in the realization of the agreed commitments. The government of Indonesia and Timor-Leste signed a memorandum of understanding for cooperation in the field of strategic planning and investment in sustainable development sector. Reporting by Antara, the Ministry of National Development Planning, Bappenas, said that this cooperation can be a medium for exchanging knowledge to design strategic steps to achieve the Sustainable Development Goals SDGs. Minister of National Development Planning, head of the National Development Planning Agency Suharto Monoarfa, during the signing of the Memorandum of Understanding in Jakarta on Thursday, said the sectors of cooperation in this framework include strengthening basic infrastructure development, sustainable cities, agriculture, rural development, tourism, affordable and clean energy, health, digital development, social inclusion, disaster mitigation, climate change, as well as private sector investment. Cooperation also includes human capacity building in the field of planning, which is carried out through training programs to internships. Minister Suharto also said that this cooperation could open opportunities for several Indonesian private companies to invest in Timor-Leste. Let's move on to the international news, where the Chinese Prime Minister Li Xiang wants deeper market integration with ASEAN countries. This was expressed at the ASEAN Summit in Vientiane, Laos, Thursday, quoted by the Associated Press. According to Om Li Xiang, the global economic conditions that have not fully recovered are exacerbated by increasing protectionism and geopolitical turmoil. Therefore, he mentioned the importance of strengthening market conditions and synchronization for further economic cooperation between ASEAN and China. ASEAN and China plan to update the free trade agreement next year, covering supply chain connectivity, digital economy, and green economy. Since the start of the trade patch in 2010, ASEAN's trade value with China has soared to $696.7 billion, equivalent to 10.8 trillion rupiah. The value makes China ASEAN's number one trading partner. Afghanistan's foreign ministry said on Thursday that Uzbekistan had received an ambassador from the Taliban government. According to AFP, the Afghan ambassador to Uzbekistan is the third to be recognized abroad since the Taliban seized power in 2021, following representatives already recognizing China and the United Arab Emirates. The appointed envoy to Uzbekistan is Abdul Ghaffar Bar, who previously served as a court official in southern Kandahar province and Kabul. During a ceremony to receive his credentials a day earlier, Afghan Foreign Ministry spokesman Abdul Kahar Baki said in a post on social media X on Thursday that Bar describes the improvement of bilateral relations as a crucial phase with hopes for further progress. Meanwhile, Uzbekistan's Foreign Minister Bakhtiyor Saidov said on social media that the two countries share a common history and interest of prosperity, which is an impetus for the development of cooperative relations in all fields. Listener, now let's move on to commentary for today.
Today's commentary is on United States asks Israel not to destroy Lebanon. Air and ground operations launched by Israel in Lebanon have caused thousands of casualties and enormous material losses. Between Israel and Hezbollah has been going on for decades. However, the cross-border fighting between Israel and Hezbollah in Lebanon for almost a year was triggered by the conflict between Israel and Hamas in Gaza. The impact of Israel's continuous attacks on Lebanon has apparently received special attention from the United States. U.S. State Department spokesman Matthew Miller on Wednesday, October the 9th, asked Israel not to destroy Lebanon like Gaza. Miller emphasized that there should be no type of military action in Lebanon that is similar to Gaza. It is known that Israel's attack on Gaza over the past year have resulted in a very severe humanitarian disaster. More than 40,000 people have died, including women and children. Mass displacement has occurred and food and medicine shortages have hit Gazans. Matthew Miller's assertion was delivered in response to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's threat to destroy Lebanon like Gaza if Hezbollah remains in Lebanon. Meanwhile, French Foreign Minister Jean-Noël Barrot called the Israeli Prime Minister's threat to Lebanon a provocation. On Tuesday, he said that if Israel's provocation becomes a reality, it will drag Lebanon, which has historically been a friendly country to France, from an already very fragile condition into chaos. Barrow added that the escalation of Israeli attacks on Lebanon would also create more security problems for Israel itself, emphasizing that the situation in Lebanon is already a disaster. The French foreign minister also warned that the region is on the verge of an escalation of conflict that is feared will also involve France. The continued escalation of attacks could lead to a major war in the region. For this reason, Barrot called for using dialogue and diplomacy rather than violence to resolve the conflict. History has shown that in many conflicts or wars, there are many civilian casualties and material damage. This could actually be prevented if both parties in conflict had a dialogue to reach a win-win solution. Hopefully, the international community's appeal to immediately stop the conflict between Israel and Hamas and Hezbollah can be realized so that people there can live in peace and security. That was commentary.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
I'll start today in history with October 11, 1961, when the United States launches Apollo 7. The United States Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA, successfully launched a manned spacecraft Apollo on October 11, 1961. It was the first manned space mission by the United States after the Apollo 1 fire incident in early 1967 that killed the entire crew. Apollo 7 was successfully launched from Cape Canaveral, Florida, United States, carrying three crew members, namely Don Isel, Walter Shearer, and Walter Cunningham. It successfully orbited the Earth for 11 days. Apollo 7 returned to Earth on October 22, 1968. Let's move on to October 11, 1984, when the crash of Aeroflot Flight 3352 was a domestic airline operated by the Soviet Union, now Russia, flag carrier Aeroflot. The flight was serving Krasnodar to Novosibirsk in Russia. While landing at Omsk Airport on October 11, 1984, it hit an aircraft maintenance vehicle on the runway, caused by an air traffic controller who fell asleep on duty. The crash killed all 174 people on board and four airport employees, making it Russia's deadliest accident until 2015. I learned today in history with October 11, 2012, when the first International Day of the Girl Child occurred. International Day of the Girl Child is a day of observance declared by the United Nations. This commemoration was first started on October 11, 2012. The International Day of the Girl Child aims to support more opportunities for girls and raise awareness of gender inequalities faced by girls around the world. They include the right to education, nutrition, legal rights, medical care, protection from discrimination, and prevention of violence against women.
Mencoba mendali makna.
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry asks more producers to make a waste reduction roadmap and ensure its implementation to improve waste reduction's contribution by companies that had reached 127,000 tons. The Director General for Waste Management, Rosa Vivin Ratnawati, in Jakarta on Monday explained that the 127,000 tons of waste and packaging containers were successfully reduced in 2023 by 20 producers who already had their waste reduction roadmap and implemented it. The reduction was seen from the waste reductions procedure in the Environment and Forestry Ministerial Regulation on Waste Reductions Roadmap by producers, where the reduction could be done through recycling, recalling, and reuse. According to her, the move to involve producers was needed considering 556 companies given by technical guidelines by the ministry, only 56 of them had submitted the roadmap document and were waiting for approval, and 21 others receiving approval and ready for implementation. Meanwhile, 20 producers had been carrying out their waste reductions roadmap, which successfully reduced 127,000 tons of waste in 2023. Rosa Vivin Ratnawati said the Environment and Forestry Ministry is very open and supportive for finding a solution when a producer faces difficulties by allocating time of 10 years for the making and implementation. She reminded the importance of synergy by various stakeholders, including the producers in waste management, considering plastic waste components may rise. The Waste Management Director General further remarked that the government's target in waste management includes 30% waste reductions and 70% waste management by 2025. According to the data of National Waste Management Information System, total waste generation reached 38.2 million tons in 2023, and 38.21% of it is not managed. Therefore, Rosa encouraged synergy between stakeholders to realize a better waste management in Indonesia, supported by the law. One of them is with Extended Producers Responsibility, or EPR, that is written in the Environment and Forestry Ministerial Regulation, number P72-2019, on Waste Management Roadmap by Producers. She specifically asked the producers targeted in the regulation, such as manufacture, food and beverage services, and also retail, to immediately make the roadmap to suppress the generation of single-use plastic waste.
Sempat sembuh.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom on Indonesian Wonder.
Pasuruan East Java has natural beauty in the form of stunning waterfalls. Several waterfalls in Pasuruan offer a peaceful atmosphere away from the hustle and bustle of the city. One of them is the Coban Baung Waterfall. The location is in Coek Village, Purwodadi District. It is about 65 kilometers from Surabaya, with a travel time of about 90 minutes. To enter the location, you have to pay an entrance ticket of 5,000 rupiah, or less than $1. To get to the waterfall, you still have to walk again about 200 meters up the stairs made of stone and cement. Coban Baung Waterfall has an altitude of about 100 meters and is surrounded by lush tourist forests. No wonder the atmosphere there is so beautiful. Coban Baung is famous for being the meeting place of two rivers, namely the Welang River and the Beji River. The confluence of these two rivers creates a flow of water that continues to flow throughout the year. Therefore, rafting activities are very suitable to be done in this tourist area. Rafting here offers an unforgettable experience because in 2.5 to 3 hours of rafting, you can witness the scenery of the forest that is still preserved in its beauty, along with animals and plants typical of lowland forests. In addition to rafting, in the Coban Baung Waterfall tourist area, you can also enjoy the freshness of the water by playing in the natural pool. Don't forget to also capture the beauty of the waterfall cliffs with your camera. For those of you who want to spend the night in nature, you can camp in this tourist area.
Mengapa ku mencinta? Jelas sudah di mata, apalagi di hati. Bukan sekedar kata, kata-kata-katanya dirangkai, dibelai, jadi kalimat cinta. Bukanlah mimpi di hati.
You are still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present to you Miscellany. Listener, today's miscellany informs you about the Yogyakarta-based Gajah Mada University or UGM student team succeeded in creating creativity in the health sector with innovative products in the form of load-cell accelerometer-based sandals. These sandals are to help patients with lower extremity fractures. These slippers are designed to help patients focus their weight and steps more precisely during the recovery process. Maya Aida, as the team leader, explained the health innovations they created to overcome the difficulty of monitoring the achievement of weight-bearing training, which is often experienced by orthopedic doctors and fracture patients. Load cell accelerometer-based sandals originated from the complaints of one of the lower extremity fracture patients at Sarjito Hospital, Yogyakarta, who is also a small and medium-scale HRD practitioner who once shared entrepreneurial knowledge at Gajah Mada University. Maya Aida further explained, the therapeutic slippers created are equipped with load cell sensors and accelerometers that can measure and provide real-time feedback to the user regarding the correct load distribution and step on the fractured foot. These sandals are also integrated with smartphones as software communication for setting weight percentage suggestions from orthopedic doctors and recording and monitoring weight exercises carried out by patients. Listener, these therapeutic slippers can make it easier for orthopedists and patients to monitor the achievement of the weight exercises that have been performed, which generally start in the fourth week after lower limb fracture surgery until the next time the patient can gradually walk without using assistive devices. The prototype of the sandals is currently still in the process of filing a patent to protect the work and encourage wider use in the medical or health world. The creativity of these sandals for foot fracture patients is expected to support improving the health and welfare of the community. Well, listener, that's today's miscellany from Voice of Indonesia.
Terlupa, teringat kita selagi masih. patut waktu takdirku.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App and Shortwave Frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Okay, welcome back to Friday's edition of Music Corner, which introduces you to regional pop music from Indonesia. On this occasion, I'm going to play a typical South Sumatran song entitled Pepe Lenjer. The song written by S. Tarno tells the story of an iconic cuisine from South Sumatra, namely pempek lenjer, a type of pempek famous for its long shape and distinctive fish taste. Through the lyrics of the song Pempek Lenjer, S. Tarno describes the deliciousness of pempek lenjer. Bulat besak panjang mak lengan, kejil-kejil rasonyo marem. Describes pempek lenjer, which is shaped like a long round like an arm and tastes delicious. With a description of the alluring taste and aroma, the lyrics describe the experience of eating savory pempek lenjer, especially when eaten with spicy sweet and sour vinegar. The lyrics also highlight the community's habit of bringing pempek home as a souvenir and strengthening togetherness through culinary. Well, listeners, it's time for us to enjoy listening to the pempek lenjer song sung by Sartika and Aryo.
Bulat besar panjang mak lengan, kecil-kecil rasonyo marem, masuk ke mulut matonyo mecer, mertua lewat masih ditelen. Kecil keras sudah biasa, asak baik iwaknyo teraso, digoreng pakai minyak kelapa jadi nambah lemak rasanya. Pempek lenjer, oi pempek lenjer, siapa nyingok pasti langiler. Pempek lenjer, oi pempek lenjer, makasih kau bicek-bicek janganlah lupa ngawak balik oleh-olehnya pempek lencer sama cukonya kita makan bersama-sama pempek lencer ay pempek lencer siapa nyingok pastilah lagi ler pempek lencer ay pempek lencer makan si kok pacak keler mancek bicek janganlah lupa ngawak balik oleh-oleh yo pempek lencer sama cukonyo kita makan bersama-sama pempek lencer sama cukonyo kita makan bersama-sama.
Yeah. Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you so much for listening the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at voi_official. I'm Rahma, signing out. Bye for now.